My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
It's always nice to see that they're satisfactorily symmetrical. On my left, John Amis and Frank Muir. On my right, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Introductions over, we'll go on with the questions. John, every now and then some operatic lady decides to go, won't call it slumming, call it Broadwaying. Some of them meet with scant success, others manage it rather well. I suppose this lady was one of the latter.
I married many men, a ton of them, and yet I was untrue to none of them, because I bumped off every one of them to keep my love alive.
Who, John? Who's the singer?
I don't know.
I was thinking you might say Federico von Stade, which is...
You were.
Yes, it was. Anyway, you've dropped a mark. Doesn't do any harm. Frank, when classical pianists decide to knock off a drop of pop or jazz, they often don't fare any better than the posh singers do. Here's one of the new generation of all-round Japanese instrumentalists playing his own arrangement of what?
Japanese are so good at arranging things, aren't they? Little flowers and pieces of fish.
Yes.
That's actually a rather extraordinary arrangement of yesterday.
Yes, it was. That's right. I won't ask you for the name. Aki Takahashi was the performer there. Ian, many is the vocal version of My Way that you, like the rest of us, have sat through. The very opening words, and now, are enough to give me the screaming out times, I tell you. But here is a My Way that preceded My Way. Who's the singer and in which musical?
From now on, we're going to do things my way. My way or none at all. We're going to do what I want to do when I say. Not when you say, but when I say. And I say that my way is the sure way. My way will work out fine. And if you still prefer to do things your way, you go your way, and I'll go mine.
Recognise him?
Oh, yes. Certain bits are absolutely inimitable.
Yeah.
Tony Newley.
Yes, that's right. In which show? Anthony Newley.
Ooh, which? Sensation from the audience.
Yeah. Do you remember the name of the show?
No.
It was in the Roar of the Grease Paint.
Ah.
And it was called My Way, the 1962, and Paul Anka's My Way was 1969. Dennis, this is Federica von Stade again with a rather peculiar verse. The verse to what?
After one whole quart of brandy, like a daisy I awake, with no promo seltzer handy, I don't even shake. Oh, not a new sensation. I've done pretty well, I think. But this half-pint imitation put me on the blink.
I'm wild again. Beaker.
Yes.
In the same way that people sitting beside Frank and I tend to disapprove of jazz versions of classical things, I think we tend to disapprove of operatic versions
Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. Not well done, that's the reason, aren't they? Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered, as you said, from the show...
Pal Joey,
yes, that's right. Our BBC friend and colleague Robert Robinson delighted me not long ago when he was introducing an edition of Brain of Britain. They'd obviously had difficulty in rounding up an audience at all that particular week. And after one outstandingly thin patter of applause, Robert said, "Pandemonium reigns." It got me thinking about audiences for musical events, symphony concerts, for instance. As a radio listener to music, do you like to hear the audience, to be aware of it? would you rather do without an audience for concerts that are broadcast or recorded? Live, as they call them in the record world. John, do you like to hear an audience?
It doesn't bother me one way or the other. What I mean, it bothers me if they cough and spit too much.
Mm.
Yes. In fact, I sometimes think, you know, they talk about authentic performances of opera in particular. I think it'd be marvellous to have a really authentic 18th century audience. They'd be talking and coming in and eating ice creams. And
yes. Yeah.
Nuts, actually. No, I don't. I think if the performance is enhanced by the fact that there is an audience there, and very often it is, then it's fine.
Sometimes atmospherically it is, Frank, isn't
it? Yes. But, I mean, I was brought up on a record of Sibelius 7, and if I don't now hear at a concert somebody cough in bar 10, I'm a bit taken aback. And I was talking to Colin Davis the other day, and he said he was brought up on that, and he always looks around the orchestra when he's conducting it to see if somebody's going to cough.
Yeah. It's like, in my generation, and yours really, learning certain repertoire pieces from 78 records. You remember where the turnover is, don't you, in the long
run? I get up sometimes.
I can't listen to Delius's Brig Fair without knowing exactly where the turnover was in the Beecham record. Frank, do you like to be aware of an audience for music?
Not bothered. Remember James Agate said that all English audience have bronchitis? As they do, really.
Before they had digital watches, too, wasn't it?
I think comedy needs audiences, but I don't think music does.
Yes, right. Ian.
Next man. I think on balance, I like to think there's an audience there. I think that if you've got a record that has been made in the studio and has gone for perfection and there have been endless retakes to get things absolutely as good as they can possibly be, that is one thing, and you can buy that and listen to it and enjoy it. But there is something, and I suppose I get this from being a performer myself, and therefore one is very aware. And singing an opera or doing a concert off the audience, I think it brings something out of the performers that is difficult to reproduce in a recording studio, particularly when you have been in there for several hours and have done the same piece two or three, four, five, six times.
Dennis, in another kind of music, do you like to hear audiences on records, LPs?
I do. The only thing I object to about those is when they bill them as live in concert, which is one word too many. They aren't going to be dead in concert. You wouldn't get much on the record. But I think, twice presented any records in a programme, and it was my own choice, and it just so happened that they were all came off at LPs, which are now called albums, and they all had audience noises on them, and audience at the beginning of the song, audience at the end of the song. I received a very strange letter from somebody who said they felt cheated by this. They said, why do you like audiences? Do you realise that you lose about 2 minutes or 3 minutes off the record for your money if you have an audience?
Talking about audiences making their presence felt, something drives me absolutely crazy in the popular song world is the audience that recognises a favourite song rather late and gives it a belated round of applause, like this.
A cigarette that bears a lipstick traces and airline ticket to romance.
At what point would you have got it, Steve? You would have
got it from...
We love the tune, though, doesn't she?
I have here a medley, a quick dash through bits of eight tunes, with the first four going to John and Frank to identify, and then over to the other side for the other four.
Thank you.
Can we, this side, have number two?
again.
Oh, the merry-go-round.
Yes. Da-da-da-da-da.
Yes. What was the first one, please, John?
Bach goes to town.
Thank you. Then the merry-go-round broke down.
My
actually.
Music, the first bit.
Yeah, no. Same key, actually. Then
the music goes around and around.
No, no. It's
merry-go-round.
No, merry-go-round broke down. Nothing to do with the music goes around
merry-go-round
and around.
Merry-go-round broke down.
We're getting confused. Then came...
The hip-hop-pop-pop.
Yes, thank you very
mud,
much.
Mud, mud, glorious pop, mud.
And
it
then
was.
Just the bar of... if you will be mine. No, I have to tell you, I'll be your sweetheart. It's just a bar of that. Ian, the next one.
Oh, my hero.
My hero, yes. And then...
Petit Valse.
Yes.
In the shade of the old apple tree.
And...
Oh, that's a touch of the Fritz Chrysler.
Yes, Liebes...
Is it Liebes, Liebes Freud?
Yeah, that's it. Liebes Freud, yes. Liebes Freud.
I never know which
yes.
of those it is, but that's right. a good guess.
Let's enjoy some heavenly singing. No, no, not
no.
you. Not you, no, no, not you. No. this is from the choir of King's College, Cambridge, under Sir David Wilcox. John, who composed that? I can tell you it's in an earlier programme. Frank accused him of making custard.
Bird.
Bird, yes. William
Bird.
Yes. Frank, forget all about questions for 30 seconds. Just sit back and marvel at this bit of choral writing. Stuff. Back to the questions. Zadok the Priest by Handel was composed for the coronation of George the Somethingth. Which George and what year would that be?
Very indirect. yes, it's George.
George. Yes.
Yeah, he was. That's the man.
Yes.
Well, Handel was a great favourite of George the Third, but this is George the Second.
So George the Second. Yes. Can you?
Who said I hate all painters?
Happy
and
year. Our mutual friend Dr. Johnson was getting ready to leave for Oxford.
Ooh.
Then?
It's late 1720s.
Yes, late, that's right. 1727 it was. That's pretty good, right?
What I think is rather marvellous is that it was such a hit, they've sung it at every coronation since.
Yeah, yes. There's nothing.
Every jolly one.
Nothing can beat it, yeah. Ian, ever since I mentioned David Wilcox and the King's College, Cambridge, eager listeners have been hoping to hear at least a snatch of this. What is it, Ian, please?
It is the Miserere by Allegri.
Allegri, yes. And do you remember the name of the small boy who sang the solo part in the original recording?
In the original?
Still in the business.
Ian?
No. I don't know.
No. Roy Goodman.
Roy Goodman, yeah.
Who told me once he came rushing in from a rugby game to be handed the piece of music on which was written this song with those top C's and all the rest of it. Dennis, it's your turn. Dennis, you don't want a question about Vivaldi's Gloria, do you?
Why do you make that assumption, Steve?
Well, it's,
You invited Frank to sit back and marvel at something.
Right. Well,
why don't you ask me to sit back?
Well, let us marvel at you, your inventiveness here. You see, the fact is that sitting in the audience, nothing to do with Vivaldi or Gloria at all, sitting in the audience tonight is a friend of mine who used to be an air hostess. And I've been wondering
On those single-wing aircraft.
Well, you know, that's on the goal, I think, you know. Well, she's nodding, actually, but I wondered what you think might have been a suitable song for her.
What I do think about songs in aircraft, I've always thought, you know that bit where the lady, your friend, stands up and tells everybody how to put on that life jacket thing, and everybody tries to pay attention. So I think they should have a piece of music that accompanies her speech, so that, because I think a musical background laid on that would somehow focus the attention, and it would also help people who don't speak that particular language as well.
Sort of rap version.
Yeah. Now you write, sir. Yes, you rap it round here.
Do you remember that charming song in Singing in the Rain when Gene Kelly sang to Debbie Reynolds on a deserted film set, "You Were Meant for Me"? I was struck by a couple of lines from that song.
Nature patterned you, and when she was done, you were all the sweet things, all love in one.
Nature fashioned you, and when she was done, you were all the sweet things rolled up in one. Fashioning the human body is something that's been done for us, and very efficiently too. But if you could refashion the human body in some way, your own body perhaps, I wonder what change...
Oh yes, what a good idea.
What change you...
Would you make to do it without being rude, isn't it?
Well, of course. Do try.
I think I'd like some gills.
Gills?
Yes. Sans serif.
Tattoos?
To be able to swim.
Oh, lovely, yes.
You could eye in the back of the head would be inconvenient, wouldn't it, on the pillow?
You could be a labyrinth.
Actually, I did know a boy who did have a strange wound in his neck, either side, and they were incipient gills, or...
Really?
Yes.
That stopped the show, didn't it? Frank, what would you... Would you like to change your own body, or anybody else's?
I'm reminded of Henry Ford, the world's greatest popular car designer, who disapproved of the human body, because he said the ignition was too near the exhaust. Whether some improvement could be made, I think. I leave it to the committee.
Ian, your human body includes a voice, unlike some of us. So
well,
what would you change?
Always having been built for comfort rather than speed. They always say that in every fat man there's a thin man trying to get out, and it's certainly the case with me. But if there was anything, any modification, which I think is the point of the question, as a singer, it would be marvellous. Perhaps it could have been something that you could have just touched one of your teeth, just to put yourself into overdrive at certain moments, just to give you a little boost on the adrenaline, or a little extra wind in the lungs, just to be able to like that, just at certain moments. But of course, probably the temptation would be to do it all the time, and then you would probably end up
playing with it.
Yes. No, I think I'll stick to it as it is.
I won't allow the description fat. Ample, yes. Fat, you are not.
You're very kind.
Ample. Comfy, really. Mm-hmm. Comfy. Dennis, change of body, what would you...
I think we could do with another pair of arms. It would be terribly convenient for all sorts of... If you were playing the piano, you wouldn't have to have somebody to come and turn over the pages. You could do it yourself. What I put it in mind was that thing that happened to me over the weekend. When you're trying to put something together and you've got a screwdriver in one hand, a screw in the other, and the instruction book you're trying to balance, and the phone rings. Yeah. And then also, you could, if somebody, you know, the waitress or somewhere says, I've only got one pair of hands, you'd say, oh, no, you haven't.
Four songs, the first of them for Frank. It's the tribute that A.P. Herbert and Vivian Ellis pay to the women who bring up other people's babies.
Other people's babies, that's my life. Mother to dozens and nobody's wife. Other people's babies, cots and prams, such little terrors, such little lambs. But then, of course, it isn't, everyone can say. They used to bath the honourable hay. Lady Lettuce, what was dropped into the pond? Our cook tells me she's a well-known blonde. Other people's babies, that's my life. Mother to dozens, and nobody's wife.
The words of Shakespeare's songs are happily out of copyright. I say happily because it means that anybody who wants to can set them to music, as I have done with O Mistress Mine.
The direction here is ruefully, and I'm doing my best.
Right.
O Mistress Mine, where are you roaming? Stay and hear your true love's coming, that can sing both high and low. Trip no further, pretty sweeting, journey's end in lover's meeting. Every wise man's son doth know, every wise man's son doth know. What is love? 'Tis not hereafter. Present mirth hath present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. In delay there lies no plenty. Then come kiss me, sweet and twenty. Youth's a stuff will not endure. Youth's a stuff will not endure. Youth's a stuff will not endure.
Thank you very much. Dennis and I are constantly being asked by listeners for copies of old songs that we've done in My Music. We can't provide copies, though, because partly of the huge demand, but legally because making copies would be in breach of the publisher's copyright. But here's the good news. A repeat performance of the song that was popular with young women, they tell me, serving in the forces in World War II. Are You Lonesome Tonight?
Are you lonesome tonight? Is your bra far too tight? Are your corsets all falling apart? Does the size of your chest wear big holes in your vest? Does your spare tire reach up to your heart? Are your stockings all wrinkled, your shoes wearing thin? Are your knickers held up with a big safety pin? Are your dentures so worn they drop down when you yawn? Then no wonder you're lonesome.
After that, something straightforward, tuneful, and boldly sung in Italian by ear.
Oi Marie, oi Marie, quanto suono che perdo per te. Fama dormi, abbracciato un poco per te. Oi Marie, oi Marie, quanto sono che perdo per te. Fama dormi, oi Marie, oi Marie.
Bravissimo. What's the score? A victory for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music with John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.